the sound of a mighty rushing wind. And it's closer now than it's ever been. I can almost hear the trumpet as Gabriel sounds a call. And at the midnight cry, Jesus is coming back for the church. It's going to make you want to shout. Hallelujah. Oh, I look around me and I see prophecies fulfilling. Oh, and signs of the time, they're appearing. I can almost hear my Father as he says, son, go get my children. And at the midnight cry, the bride of Christ will rise when Jesus steps out.
And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Matthew chapter 26, verses 40 through 41. Hello, everyone. Whoops, I didn't open up Uber Conference. I'm off and running, and I did not open up the conference room. Well, I've been running and just thought of you right now in the conference room. So we've got Pastor Fred here, and I'm glad for that. And hello, Pastor Fred.
Hello, John. How are you today? You're doing fine by the sound of your voice.
Yeah, it turns out to be a very good day, Pastor Fred, a very, very good day.
Wonderful.
And you sound pretty good, too, by the sound of your voice.
Yes, your prayer was has worked tremendously.
Has it?
Yeah,
praise.
It always does.
Yeah.
It always does.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's tremendous.
Yeah.
I'm happy. All right. So let me open with a word of prayer. And so, Father, we thank you for today. I thank you for this time together, Lord. I thank you for Pastor Fred and all that you've taught him in the Word, Lord, and he shares that with us, and it's always a great blessing. So we ask for a special anointing on him as he teaches your Word tonight. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Oh, and Lord, whatever we do is always under the blood of the everlasting covenant that you made with us on Calvary. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, Pastor Fred.
Thank you so much. I've been trying to, in the last couple of Sundays, talk to my people and let them know not how lucky they are, but how blessed they are in the Lord.
Amen.
Why? Because of the fact that, and we'll be looking at one of the reasons, but we have not had to walk around in a land and receive promises that we never received. We've not had to walk in total faith or kind of blind faith, and I don't think it was blind faith for the Israelis. But Abraham sojourned in a land of promise. Everything was promised. But if you read the Hebrews, these all died in the faith, not having received, seen the promises, but having seen them afar, embraced them, and were persuaded of them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. So, and yet, what have we been given? We've been given something that is complete, that we've not had to believe in something in the far distant future, even though we do. And I'm not trying to denigrate anything from the Word other than to receive from the Lord this understanding that we in this generation, where we have been had Jesus Christ revealed to us, he's become the author and finisher of our faith. It's something that no other generations before ever were able to enjoy to that extent. So we are privileged. We are a privileged bunch of people. And I don't want to dwell on that, but these things all obtained a good report in Hebrews 11:39-40. They didn't receive the promise. The promise referred is that of the coming Messiah. They never received the promise of the coming Messiah, but we did. We have. Why we're so privileged, why we are so blessed. And so not only being so privileged, no, so blessed, when the Bible says and the Lord Jesus says, to much that has been given, much will be required. So we need to understand fully that we are in a privileged position. God has placed us in this land at this time and given to us a privileged position because we have seen the Messiah in a way that the Israelis did not for the first how many thousand years. And yet they believed. And they fully wanted to follow him. But that's the beginning of what I was talking about in church, allowing my people to understand that they are in a privileged position, not that that causes us to be proud or above them, who, especially those who've gone before, because they all walk by faith. We're to walk by faith and not by sight too. But the thing that I wanted to teach, and I did on Sunday, and that was the difference between the promise or the gift of the Holy Spirit and the gifts, plural, of the Holy Spirit. And we'll be concentrating on the gift. And the gift, I dare suggest, is this statement that becomes so obvious in Acts 2, and we'll be reading from Acts 2, 38 to 39, probably. And it's phenomenal how Christians, a vast majority of Christians, and I'm not talking to the people, I'm about the folk that I'm talking to right now, but the vast majority of Christians, as you travel around the world, who confuse the gift, singular, and the gifts, plural, which is more important. What is it? Well, I suggest to you that the gift, singular, is the promise of the Father. And Jesus himself told us to be ready for the promise of the Father. He said it in Luke 24, 49. He said, "Behold, I send the promise of the Father upon you." Then, of course, in Acts again, he said, Acts 1, 4, "But wait for the promise of the Father." Now, I'm going to suggest and ask you to open your mind and heart to discover that that promise of the Father has so many different sides to it, so many different names to it, so many different ways of describing the promise of the Father. The basic promise is the promise of a person. It's the gift of the indwelling presence of God, the Holy Spirit, as a person. And that person is Jesus Christ. And so when you ask the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart, there are so many who know nothing about the Holy Spirit, and they confuse it. And they think it's some kind of weird thing. And then there are others who think that the gifts, plural, of the Holy Spirit are so much more important than this promise of the Father. But they're not. They're not. I'd like to suggest that we look at the promise of the Father tonight and thoroughly study it and see what it leads us to. And so we're reading from Acts 2, 32 to 39. Then Jesus, and obviously you know that we're breaking into Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost. Very important sermon. And one of the reasons I'm using this is because a lot of people confuse the verse 38, the gift of the Holy Spirit, with the gifts, plural, of the Holy Spirit. Now, the gift of the Holy Spirit is linked to something which we're going to read about now. So let me read this. "Jesus hath God raised." We're in the middle of a sermon here, "whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit," singular, the promise, "he hath shed forth this, which you now see and hear." And it's the day of Pentecost, and you know there's all kinds of phenomena has been going on. and the Lord God poured out his spirit on his people. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he says himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make your foes thy footstool. Wherefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus, that same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. And so he's preaching, and they're being convicted by the Holy Spirit, because that's what the Holy Spirit comes to do. He shall convict you of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Verse 36, 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And this verse 38 is a huge key to how you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And understand what he calls it. And then Peter said unto them, repent. The very first thing that we need to do. Be sorry for our sins. Repent. Turn away from our wicked way of life, our wicked way of thinking. Renew our mind and our heart in the things, the moral things of God. And be baptized, every one of you. So there he says, the first thing is repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, so that you can get your sins cleansed, because Jesus Christ died on the cross. He just explained that to them, for the sins of God's people, shed his blood, rose again from the dead. And he says, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And and you shall receive the gift, singular, the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise, again, there's the promise, singular, is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many that are as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. Now, I just read about the acceptance of the Lord Jesus Christ on the day of Pentecost. It's repent, be baptized, and receive remission of sin, and then you shall receive the gift, singular, of the Holy Spirit. So it's a wonderful thing, but it is so often misunderstood and confused. So what I'm talking about right now is the promise of God from the Father. And you and I understand, I read Jesus himself telling his disciples on Luke 24:49, behold, I send the promise of the Father. There it is again, the promise of the Father upon you. Now, this is something special. This is the revelation of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, to our generation, to our thousands of years that have been given to us. So that, again, I'll repeat, the gift of the Holy Spirit in Acts 2:38 is to receive the indwelling presence of God, the Holy Spirit, as a person. So he's the giver. Now, while the gifts, plural, of the Holy Spirit are the specific supernatural abilities and tools bestowed on the believer for ministry. There's a big difference, huge difference between the two. You can't have one without the other. You can't have that first one, the gift, the singular gift of the Holy Spirit, with the indwelling power of the Lord Jesus Christ through the person of the Holy Spirit. He's the giver. You receive the promise of the Holy Spirit. That's what the Father does. And then the gifts are abilities. They're given to be practiced by people in ministry. So the Holy Spirit, the gifts, are the specific supernatural abilities and tools bestowed on the believer for ministry, which is far less important, the plurality, the gifts, than the gift of the Holy Spirit. The gift of the Holy Spirit refers to the third person of the Trinity, Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You are receiving one of the persons of the Holy Spirit when you come to the Lord Jesus and bow before him and repent and ask him to come into your heart and life, when you turn from your wicked ways, and then you ask him for the cleansing and remission of sin through his precious blood, you get baptized, then you receive the person of the Holy Spirit, the gift, singular. So that you receive the third person of the Trinity. All believers receive him. He brings new life and spiritual power. And he indwells believers, making them holy, setting them apart from the world's power base. One of the better ways you could easily find what we've been given is go to Romans 8. Romans 8, and we'll read just from there. It's towards the end there. It's just a kind of a list or a litany of things that you receive when you accept the person of the Holy Spirit in your life, when you accept the Lord Jesus in your life. And he indwells believers, making them holy and set apart. And what you see, I'm looking at 8, 27 to 31, Romans 8, 27 to 31. And remember, again, I'm cutting in on this. All I'm trying to give to you is an idea of what you've received. I want us all to appreciate that what we have received is not something that we've been waiting for or walking around in a promised land and receiving something in the dim, dark, distant future. Yes, we have been given eternal life, which we will receive in years to come. But it dwells in us right now. But let's look at 27 of Romans 8. And so it's giving to us a quick list of what we get from the Lord Jesus. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth that what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The Holy Spirit prays for you. Within you, he prays for you. Without, outside, he prays for you. Jesus up in heaven, he's praying for you. Verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. These are all things that come to you, my Christian friend, as you accept the promise of the Father. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. It's an amazing thing. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. So you've been called. And whom he called, them he also justified. Justified? Yes. God, the Father, looks upon you as if you never sinned because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's justification. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Glorified? You mean I accepted the promise of the Father and now he's glorified me? What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? So do you see? I'm going to cut out from there now. All the good things that you've been given in salvation. All the good things because you accepted the promise of the Father. Now, looking at the gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, the gifts, plural, are not the promise, even though they've been promised by God to give to us as ministering abilities, They are not this promise that I've been talking about. They are not a person, but an ability to operate as a believer. Do not confuse the gifts, the ministry gifts, as something that is confusing with the person of the Holy Spirit coming into your life at salvation. You receive that as, and again, I remind you how privileged we are, because we don't have to wander around in a promised land that doesn't belong to us. We have been given so much in the Lord Jesus, in that we are complete in him, that he is the author and finisher of our faith, and that we do not wander around looking for a city, but we look to Jesus. So too many Christians confuse the two, gift singular and gifts plural, of the Holy Spirit, and are scared by both. That's what bothers me, why so many people ignore the reality of the presence of the Holy Spirit within the believer, the one who has accepted the Lord Jesus Christ into their heart. The Holy Spirit comes to dwell. We'll see that in a moment. And because they confuse these two, the gift and the gifts, thus ignoring them, sometimes both. You know what people say? You know, if I follow the Lord Jesus Christ and I follow his Holy Spirit, he may make me do something I don't like. Well, of course he's going to make you do something you don't like, because you've been following a selfish person all your life. And all of a sudden now you have someone inside you who is prompting you to follow the Lord Jesus. The gifts, plural, are not the true evidence of God's work in our lives. You know why? Because there are so many times in the scriptures, especially in the parables, where you have a story that ends with Jesus saying to someone who considers themselves to be a follower of him, doing all his wondrous works, healing people, preaching the gospel, and yet he comes out and says, I never knew you. You remember those stories and parables in the scriptures? Only the fruit of the Holy Spirit dwelling in our daily life is the true proof of the indwelling Holy Spirit. Let's go to Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. I live. Therefore, nevertheless, I live. Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the power of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 5:22 says, the gifts of the Spirit. Now, this is most important that you understand this difference here. The Holy Spirit who came to live within you, the only fruit of the Holy Spirit indwelling in our daily life is the true proof of the indwelling Holy Spirit who came in to live with you when you realized you were a sinner. You called out to God to save you. You confessed your sin. You claimed his blood as your cleansing. Was water baptized, and then all at once, wow, in him, Jesus, now in you, dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, says Scripture. So there's a big difference, I say it again, between the promise of the Holy Spirit that comes in with salvation and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, plural, which come in. And I know you know that, and I know I don't need to burden you with it, but I needed to speak to my people, and that's what the Holy Spirit told me to teach, because of the fear that so many people have in so many denominational places of the Holy Spirit. And they don't know the difference between the fact that at salvation you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is singular. That's the promise of the Father. And that's got many different names. It's the Helper. It's the Advocate. It's the Anointed One. It's the there are so many different names for this Holy Spirit coming into your life. But let's look at just quickly, so we don't go through the whole thing. I don't want to run out of time. Let's look at John 14, 15 to 17. Jesus said, he's talking about the Holy Spirit, that he would pray the Father for another comforter. That's another person. That's the person of the Holy Spirit. He called him another comforter or a helper, depending on what your translation is. That's the second thing. He's going to pray. And then Jesus said he and the Father would send the third person of the Holy Spirit into your life at salvation. When you accept him, when your sin is turned over under the blood of the Lord Jesus, when you repent, then he abides with you forever. That's the third thing. You have to begin to realize that this salvation that you've been given, the gift of the Holy Spirit, that came as the result of your repentance, your baptism, the remission of sin, and then receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit, he abides with you forever. It's the Spirit of Truth. That's a different name that he gives to it. It's the same Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth, which he says is exclusive to you. The world cannot receive him, this Spirit of Truth, because he is the Holy Spirit. He is the third person of the Trinity. And then it says, I pray that you begin to understand what you have received in the Lord Jesus Christ, because of the revelation that came when Jesus Christ went to the cross, lived on this earth, went to the cross, taught his disciples, and told us to wait to receive the promise of the Father. He was so excited that we might receive the promise of the Father. And within that promise, you will know him. Who? You will know the third person of the Trinity inside of you, for he dwells with you. In other words, he's close to you. You know, you got things in your house, he dwells with you. You got something dwelling with you. Well, you don't know what you've got dwelling in your house, all kinds of things, all kinds of good things and bad things. A fly or an ant or or whatever. You don't know half the things that are in your house, nor do you know half the things that are in your body house. But he dwells with you. And then in order to belabor the point that he abides with you forever, he's the Spirit of Truth, exclusive to you, and you will know him, and he dwells with you, and shall be in you. John 14, John verse chapter 14, 15 to 17, and shall be in you. Do you acknowledge the gift of the Holy Spirit, singular, the promise of the Father? In 1 John 2, 20 and 27, you have another indication of another name of the promise of the Father. But the anointing you received of him abideth in you. So he's adding to the fact that you have a helper, you have an advocate, you have someone living in you, you have the Spirit of Truth. And these are all concrete things from the third person of the Trinity. But we have to acknowledge them. We have to understand that they only come by faith. So Hebrews 8:10 says, he calls it the covenant. That is my law in their minds and in their hearts, written there. He also calls this promise of the Holy Spirit, which is the covenant. Then if you accept Jesus Christ, you receive a covenant from him. That's the promise of the Father as well. it's so multi, it's like a diamond. It has so many different facets. That is my law in their minds and in their hearts. Now, I'm not making this up. This is the covenant written in our hearts. And then in Jeremiah 24:7, I'll give them a heart to know me. Romans 4:14 and 16. You get the same promise to all. Therefore, the promise is of faith. Now, this is how you receive that promise. This is how you recognize as a human being, born again, repented, baptized, received cleansing of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's of faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. We walk by faith and not by sight. It's faith that tells me that he indwells me, that I have received the promise of the Father. It's in fact, he reiterates and says that it is of the faith of Abraham's seed. It goes far back as Abraham. Now, the beauty of this whole episode that we're talking about is this gift of the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Father. It says in Ephesians 1:13, you heard, you trusted the gospel in whom after you believed. And this is the beauty of it. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. My friend, you didn't walk around in a promised land as a stranger that didn't belong to you. You didn't wander anywhere. You have been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Ephesians 1:13. You heard the gospel. You trusted the gospel. In whom, after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So again, I remind you that we are complete in him. We are not wandering around as they did in the Old Testament. Not that I'm trying to ever take away from God's people the faith of the fathers and of the prophets and the priests, but they were given so many promises that they'd become a great nation. Well, that hasn't happened yet, that they'd have a great name, that they would be blessed and be blessed and curse those who were cursing them, that all nations would be blessed by them, that 100% of the promised land would be theirs. And that they would have innumerable seed, and that many nations would come from them, and kings would come from them, and their descendants would be serving God in Canaan, that there would be a perfect, complete fulfillment of the Abrahamic covenant, according to Genesis 18:19, that Israel's seed possessed their enemies. That they were, these are all promises that were made, that the salvation of the heathen, that all nations would be blessed in Jewish people, in Israel, and that the first coming of the Messiah, Galatians 3:16, would happen, and they didn't accept that, and you have. So that's part of the privileged position that I believe that we've been given. And so the second coming of Jesus is also something that they're waiting for, as we are too. So we're waiting for some things, but there is something unique about the life of the Lord Jesus coming to the earth at fullness of time, 2,000 years ago, bringing eternal life and resurrection, bringing repentance, bringing heaven. And I could quite keep quoting all kinds of things, but I just want to end with, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels. And that's in Hebrews 2:9. And then Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. There it is. That's what I'm talking about. There is something completed that you were given that was not given to others. in times past, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So we're complete in him, for in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. We are not wandering around all over looking for something that has just been promised, and that we're still looking for the promise. You have been given a completed promise, and therefore again I warn you that to whom much has been given, much will be required. Not that we can get up with our own bootstraps and all of a sudden become wonderful apostles and preachers and teachers. But all I've spoken about this morning, this evening, is the fact that we have been given a promise by the Father, and that promise came through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that promise comes with salvation. It's the promise of the third person of the Holy Spirit. You shall receive the Holy Spirit. And you have been given the Holy Spirit. And you have been given a privileged position. So do not knock it. Do not hold it far from you. Let's just finish with Romans 1, 2 to 5. Romans 1, 2 to 5. I hope this has I know that most of you know these things, but I'm trying to bring clarification for people who are scared of the Holy Spirit, who don't understand it fully, who don't want to be amongst those with the gifts and the abilities that is given to us, and therefore they shy away from anything to do with the Holy Spirit. Let's look at 2 to 5 in Romans 1. Which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom also we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. So that's the reason, I believe, why we have been given a privileged position. We've been given the privileged position, my Christian friends, to accept the Lord Jesus Christ into our lives so that we might finish the work of the Lord Jesus Christ in bringing many souls unto him. And that's what Abba Father's Fellowship is doing. That's what the folk who pray in Abba Father's Fellowship, that's what the pastors, many different countries are doing. That's what the brochures are doing. That's what the books are doing. So we praise God for Abba Father's Fellowship. So we praise God for what he has given to us in the promise of the Father. That's the promise, singular. Receive the gift, singular, of the Holy Spirit, which is given to everybody who accepts the Lord Jesus Christ into their heart. And then there are such things as gifts, plural, ministering gifts, which the Lord Jesus wants to use in order to bring many souls into the kingdom. Father, we thank you for your word. We bless you. We thank you for the way in which you have taught us so many things. But you've given to us a privileged position because we can look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We can look unto Jesus, the captain of our salvation, for all the things he did in order so that we might become part of his family, part of his kingdom, part of those who are bringing many souls to himself. Pray for our families. Pray for those who are far away from you. May they come close, Lord. May we continue to pray and seek your face in all things. In Jesus' precious name. Thank you, John. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Pastor Brett. Boy, there was some nice, juicy scriptures there I was looking at. But thank you for now. Hang on.
You were
here.
ready to roll, eh?
Yeah, there were some nice juicy scriptures. So how did it? I'm curious. What kind of feedback did you get at the church?
Very positive.
Yeah,
very
positive. I figured that.
It was positive. We're trying to reach people who've been in churches that have little to do with the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and then they confuse them, and there's no clear line as to what is what, and therefore they stay away from anything to do with the Holy Spirit. Haven't you met people like that?
Oh yes.
In denominational churches, aren't there many like that?
Oh, absolutely. Or they say, well, they basically say that it ended.
That's the whole thing. And they still hold on to that. They still hold on to that. And you wonder how, and yet you pray and you preach and you cry out to the Lord for them to begin to understand and know that they miss out on so much. How can you accept the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart and never have the Holy Spirit doing all that he's doing, indwelling, being your helper, being the Spirit of truth, being dwelling, abiding with you, and then abiding in you? How can you go through a Christian life without him?
Amen. Yeah, well, it becomes a struggle, and you know that causes many people maybe to look to psychiatrists, psychologists, things like that, Pastor Fred, you know?
You're right.
That's
the truth.
Yeah.
And they prefer the things of the world to the things of the Spirit. That's where it comes down to. We have been given so much in the Spirit of the Lord that we don't even talk about it. We don't even acknowledge it. We don't want to be able to, I don't know. And yet you have, on the other side, you have people who walk in the Spirit and pray and teach and rejoicing, and doesn't mean that they don't have afflictions and, you know, hardships like everybody else, and yet the Lord keeps them happy and rejoicing in the Lord. Thank you so much anyway.
Yeah, well, wonderful. Again, wonderful. So, as usual, Pastor Fred, we want to close your teaching there with prayer. So anything in particular outstanding that you want prayer for?
Well, in the church, yes, that there be a continual growth in the gift singular of the Holy Spirit, that there would be a greater acknowledgement by those who have been rejecting that teaching, and claiming that everything ended, that there is no Holy Spirit, which to me is very dry teaching. I don't know how to say it without, I don't want to be mean, or you don't want to be you criticizing, but folk who, okay, you want me to give you a live story?
Sure.
I'm coming out of the church, and my pants leg on one side, where the leg is swollen, I'm going through the hallway, and apparently the ladies in the church have been talking about me appearing as if I'm not, you know, standing or walking properly. All of a sudden, they accost me just before I get into my car at the doorway, telling me that I have to go to a doctor. Well, you've told me the same. But I just came out of a church preaching this sermon, and I said to myself, you want me to go to a doctor and you don't pray for me?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but was I critical? Was I being critical? The first thing, if I, and they were really pressed on me, or they were getting angry. You've got to do this. You must do this. And I kept saying to myself, I just preached on the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And he's our best doctor. Why don't we ask him? And I was about to ask one of the other gentlemen who I know prays and prays for healing people. But I didn't. I walked out and cried out to the Lord and said, Lord, we still haven't got the message across, have we? And not that I'm criticizing, you know, these are wonderful people. These are claiming to be servants of the Lord, but the reality of the Holy Spirit, what they come from, the churches in 20, 30 years, they've baked in these kind of doctrines, which are frightening.
Well, Pastor Fred, what they should do, and I had to learn this, and I had to learn what I'm saying, is instead of saying, Pastor Fred, look, with your leg here, you got to go to the doctor, it should be, let us pray over you.
Yeah, and then after that, you're going to send me to the doctor.
Well, yes, I mean, but you pray first. You know,
yes,
you get
what we're there for.
We get the Lord involved in it right away.
Seek first the kingdom of God.
Well, I'll give you an example on my part with Nancy when she fell and broke her hip. Yeah, there was some praying for it, but I guess not the right way. But before she went to the hospital, I was kind of convicted of saying, well, look, why don't we bring this before the Lord, before the operation? So I called Patty. And he prayed over her, and his prayer basically was that she'd have no pain and no operation.
Yeah.
So the next day, that's exactly what happened.
And he didn't know what he was praying for. He was just following the Lord.
Yeah. But he prayed no pain and no operation. And that's so if we didn't pray, if we didn't bring that before the Lord, she would have had that operation.
And she could still be limping around.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it takes a long time to get over those things.
Yeah.
Anyhow, thank you. I'm not trying to sound jaundiced or anything. I love God's people. But those who reject, and as you say, write off the power and presence of the Holy Spirit that he died when the last apostle died, I have a problem with that. I really do. And that was nothing. Because I saw what happened in New Guinea. There were people who were totally illiterate, could embrace the Holy Spirit and do things that the life of the Holy Spirit was able to do in them without anything, without any kind of peripheral education of any kind. It was just belief in the Lord Jesus Christ and teaching him that his Holy Spirit was within them. And that's partly why I suppose I'm a little jaundiced sometimes when I have people say, well, you've got to go to the doctor right now, and if you don't, you're going. And not only that, there were several others who called my daughter after I left church and told her that she's better do something quickly. You know how you have this threaten? And I'm trusting the Lord. Yes, but you helped me out, and I'm telling you, your prayer worked.
Amen. Yeah, yeah.
All right, I'm sorry for belaboring the point, I'd bring it.
No, all right. Well, Pastor Fred, an update on Kate?
Yes, she just came back today from another infusion. We haven't stopped doing those. They want to keep doing them. I'm asking them to stop and not keep doing the same thing over and over again without any real positive results. Because the word is, it appears. Nothing ever is for sure. It just appears. So she still has a death sentence upon her.
Still has what, Fred?
Huh?
She still has
the
what?
The death sentence, if she's to be operated on. She wants to be operated on in the worst way possible. And I say, you can't. They can't. They want to be able, it would take, they said, at least a dozen different surgeons because there's so many different organs there that have to, and they're all specialized today. You know how things are specialized with everything. So praise God. We're looking for the curse to be lifted and for her to be healed completely. That's what we're looking for. That's all we need from the Lord Jesus. Same for Nate.
Okay. Same for Nate. Well, before you go then, let's have prayer.
Amen. Thank
you. All right. Father, We thank you so much for Pastor Fred, and we thank you for his teaching and preaching, Lord. Thank you for it. May we all grow in the Word through his teaching, and that the promise of the Holy Spirit is not the gifts of the Spirit. We all should be anchored in that. So we praise you and thank you. Now, Lord, I thank you for the good report that Pastor Fred is giving about his leg, Lord. We're praying for complete healing now, and that he will be able to function normally with that leg. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Lord, we're praying your blessings on all his family, Lord, all of them, Lord. So we thank you, Lord, and particularly for Katie. Lord, the good news is that this isn't progressing, Lord. Is there any movement in the shrinking, Pastor Fred?
Not to my knowledge. Not to my knowledge, because it only appears, and each person says, well, it appears it could be, but they don't know.
Okay.
But it could well be. They see a distance, see something different, but praise God. We just keep thanking him. We're not the ones reading those things, and he's the one who's going to have to remove all that.
Okay. So, Lord, we thank you that there's no bad reports here at this point. It's not, to their knowledge, it's not expanding. So that's good, Lord. And Lord, so she's being under attack by the spirit of infirmity, Lord. And we're asking, Lord, that you, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of the living God, would destroy that spirit of infirmity, that it would dry up and die, Lord. Any cancer like that, Lord, is the spirit of death also operating. And we speak death to the death and life through the Holy Spirit flowing through her, Lord. So we're asking that that spirit of death be arrested, fully arrested, Lord, tore off her. And as that's tore off her, that tumor there will shrink, Lord, and die.
Amen.
And die in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Thank you for Katie, Lord. Thank you. What a wonderful spirit that she has, Lord. Lord, we do the same thing with Nate. Were any feedback from Nate, Pastor Fred?
Not yet, no.
But we pray for his liver and the complete healing of his liver, Lord. We speak life and health in the name of Jesus to his liver. And that any tumors in there will shrivel up and die also, as the spirit of infirmity, the spirit of death dies in Jesus' name. Name above all names. Thank
Hallelujah.
You.
Lord.
Thank you. We pray for Pastor the continual growth in Pastor Fred's church. Pastor Fred, any update about going out on Saturdays?
Well, this past Saturday, we were packing 280 of those Samaritan's Purse boxes. So
oh,
this
okay.
Particular thing we can go.
All right. Okay. So, Lord, but thank you for the fruit that's come from it already. Thank
Amen.
You. And, Lord, we're asking all your blessings on Pastor Fred's house, his possessions, his finances, Lord, that you would just continue to greatly, greatly bless him. Thank you, Lord. And again, I got sidetracked there, for the spiritual growth of his church. So I'm asking, Lord, as Pastor Fred is the shepherd, you will lead him to the exact teachings that are needed for this church. That's what we're asking for, Lord, the exact teachings from your word that is needed to help this church grow in grace and be strong in you. And in Jesus' name we ask, amen. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you so much, John. Thank you so much for putting up with me.
Well, everybody has the burden, Fred. So yes, it's a you're a big burden.
30-40 year old burden. How long am I been burdening you?
No, you haven't been burdening. Hey, before you go, do you remember that time you went on that trip to Israel?
Yes, I do.
Me?
I still have notes from. Yeah.
Do you?
Yes.
Well, we were, and remember Donna was there and she made that big banner?
Yes, yes. And we held it up on the Mediterranean and then also up on the Mount Olivet.
Yeah, all over. So did you know that she made a copy for me?
No.
Yeah, I'll have to take it. It's up in the church. Their Word of Life, My Shalom. They hung it up on the wall there, and it's really beautiful. You got to get up close to see all the intricate work. Anyways, I was telling them the people in church how it came about, and I had a picture. I had a picture of holding the banner in Capernaum, in the synagogue in Capernaum. And who did I see but this big, tall guy there? You.
Oh, one of the goalposts?
No, you weren't holding it. No, you were in the back. And then it would be to your right, over on the other side, was Darlene.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that was that really had an effect on our lives. Amazing.
Yeah.
That was beautiful. That was something else.
Folks, what happened was, I don't want to get into a long story, but because of my stand for Israel, I was offered a free trip and with all paid for by a group of Israeli Jews that wanted all these Christians to come over. And they asked me, do you know a good Christian Zionist like that would like to come? So I called you, remember?
Yes, yes.
And you ended up...
I didn't have to become a Zionist. I already was.
Right, right. But then they said that Darlene could come too. So yeah. You got like an all-expenses-paid trip to Israel.
And that's the favor of the Lord on my life day in and day out. It just never ends.
Yeah.
And thank you for reminding me again. Just how good the Lord has been.
Yeah.
That's the truth.
And remember, we were up in the mountains of Israel. And, folks, the bus we took was an armored bus.
Right.
It would have thick steel, and the windows were like 3 inches thick. You remember we were up there, and they were visiting a Jewish woman that was there with her kids and the dog? And then the army came, and she was all surrounded by Palestinians. And the army came and told us we had to leave. It was too dangerous. Remember?
Yeah. Yes, yes, yes. That was after we'd watched over Jenin. You know, we came back and up there. And, you know, these people, they were self-sufficient. You know, everything had to have a water tank, and they had to have their own generator. And there they are in the middle of everywhere, ready to be slaughtered, and yet living there.
Yes. Yeah, they were flying the Israeli flag on their, mobile home there.
Yeah.
So I was going through the pictures, and I only had that one picture of you there in Capernaum. Uh-huh. So I'm looking, and I can't see myself, and I said, oh, I took the picture. I remember I took the picture.
Okay. All right, but you were there.
Yes, I was
Thank
there.
You. Yeah. Thank you so much. Lord bless, John.
All right. God bless you now, Pastor Fred.
Bye now.
Amen. Amen. Okay, so we have Sister Kathy here. Hello, Sister Kathy.
Good evening. Good evening.
And have you ever seen that banner that was made? Have any of you seen it? Have I showed it to you?
You did hold up a picture or something, but I don't remember you pointing out Pastor Fred.
Okay.
Was there, how many people were in it? I remember the banner, and you, no, I think you showed it at
my Shalom
picture at, yeah, in my that's Shalom. Where it was.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't have pointed out Fred because they didn't know him there.
Yeah. Well, do you have it now? Will you do that? And do you have it there? You could show it again?
Yeah. 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 And the banner that I have is stunningly beautiful. And I've got it sitting. I had it up on the wall in my house in Pennsylvania. But here there was no place I could put it up. So I had it in a big box. And then I talked to the pastors there, Tim and Ruth, and I brought it in and showed it to them, and they loved it. So it's up on the wall on the church. So when I go there Wednesday, I'll take a picture of it.
Okay, all right.
And I got something really funny to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then when I say you, I mean everybody. I have something really funny to tell ye. How's that? Ye.
Oh, ye.
Yeah. Ye is plural. Thee.
I know.
Thine and thee and thou is singular. Anyways, on Sunday I taught at that church, and then they knew I was teaching Wednesday night. So I heard all this, after the service, they were all talking about, can you go and are you going to watch over the internet and all. So about half the church decided they're going to come Wednesday to hear me speak at my Shalom.
And eat.
And yeah. Then the other bunch are going to watch on the internet. You know, they're going to watch on the internet. So I don't know if I told everybody this story, but there's a church service. There's a woman that gives out all of the events. So about
announcements.
So about 2 months ago, she was, because we have two chefs there that are really, really good. One makes fantastic desserts, and the other he's the pastor's son. So she's up there. Oh, and Wednesday night, we're going to have so-and-so with the desserts. And then we're going to have, I forget his name, the pastor's son's name. And so make sure you come because he's going to make chicken this and that and all this. Make sure you come Wednesday night. And she didn't mention me. Speaking. So when she finished, I stood up and I said, remember, I'm speaking on Wednesday night, and consider me the dessert.
There you go.
So you come for the dessert, folks. Man shall live, not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded. So they announce every time she gives the announcements, you can't help but laugh. You know, this is like a real funny routine every week because they were promoting the dinner and not the speaker. So anyways, everybody from the church, when they come, I told them to tell them that they're there for the dessert.
You did give them notice that there's going to be a handful of more people than normal, right?
No, I didn't. I might do that today. Oh, tomorrow. Good. Thanks for telling me. Okay, well, you lead in prayer, and let me get that picture.
Okay. Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for the goodness and mercy that you give your people, Lord. Mercy overcomes judgment, and we are just so thankful that you are just doing right. You're doing awesome. You're doing what has to be done, how it has to be done, and because it needs to be done. And Lord, we just pray for this leftist crazy mess that's going on, this deception, the blindness, Lord, the delusion that people are in. So many people have Trump derangement syndrome, Lord, and And it is a diagnosed, not illness, but concern. And so we just pray, Lord Jesus, that people will be broken of it and let them see the truth and the fact that there is good coming and they're doing just like they did earlier. But Lord, we just thank you that you're God and you're working it all together for good. Thank you for the fivefold ministry, their spouses and children. And thank you that the gifts and callings of you are without repentance. And Lord, I do thank you that we are gifted and we are blessed and we are highly favored. And then Lord, I pray for fruit. I know Sharon saw something today that I discussed this on a little episode, but fruit has to be cultivated. Gifts are given. They don't cost us anything. We don't have to spend any energy to acquire them. They're given, but you require fruit to be cultivated. Patience, kindness, temperance, love, self-control. We have to work on those. So, Lord, let our fruit be bountiful. Let our fruit be mature and just productive and beneficial, and let people enjoy the fruit that we produce through you, through sacrifice and through effort and through prayer, praise, and worship. So thank you, Lord. I do pray for tomorrow when Chaplain goes to the prayer meeting. And Lord, I pray that we'll meet tomorrow. Sharon will be here bright and early, and we just thank you, Lord, that it'll go wonderfully. And tomorrow's the 40th anniversary of one of the pro-life things, and 40 days of prayer or something. I can't remember. I read it and it's just gone. But thank you, Lord. We just pray, God, that there'll be a resurgence of that. Since 2018 and 2023, there were 1.5 million babies aborted. Oh, my goodness, Lord, what a sin and shame and disgrace, and what a scourge. So we repent, Lord, as best we can, and we just pray that the vigilers and those that are seeking to encourage someone to keep their baby will have results tomorrow. And thank you for all Chaplain did. Thank you for what Larry does, and I know Pastor Fred did as well. And just many, many people. So we just love you and thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Okay. Paula Jean, hello. We missed you this morning. Yes, Paula Jean.
I'm sorry. I muted myself. Confession.
Hey, Sister Kathy, what do you think will make muting yourself a mortal sin? How's that? A mortal sin?
Stop her, right?
You're going to have to do... no, that, we'll just let it go. That's funny enough. We won't go further than that.
I'm sorry. Yes, well, anyway, I was so blessed to be here tonight. I will say that, and I always miss it when I'm not here, but you know, sometimes we have to take care of business, and I needed peace of mind. So anyway, and God's good about helping me get that peace of mind in so many ways. And tonight, listening to Pastor Fred, God just he gives Fred his burdens. I think it's so funny. I mean, because we're supposed to give God our burdens. But I think sometimes God shares some things with Fred so that Fred can give them back to him. And they can share it together, because it was such, to me, a timely thing for him to be teaching his people about, especially if he's running into the, evidence that there is still need in that area. And it's a very important area. If I hadn't been blessed by receiving the understanding when I came to the Lord, I would have been puzzled about the Bible for many years until I finally understood, because someone taught me, like Fred just did tonight, about the importance. Because if you're not looking to the Holy Spirit for help understanding what he wrote or had written, you're missing a lot of the fruit that's in there for God's people. And I was so with him in that. And I'm so praying for his people. For the thing that occurred to me is we need to pray for God to give the mercy and the grace to the people whose hearts had gotten hard so that they're not listening to the things that they need to hear long enough for when those truths are spoken, for them to have that opportunity to change their mind and repent and reach out and receive and be willing to taste and see if that food is good. Because, oh my goodness sakes, it's so important. And so I do pray for Father God right now for awakening in Pastor Fred's church, in the people who have not yet really realized and broken free. Or wherever it was that he was teaching this, because they need Holy Spirit so much. And if they don't even want to receive from him, that is such, I mean, to me, that's a crime. But that's maybe I use crime a little too soft, but I don't think so. Because we can't function with this part of you. It's like we're missing so much. And I'm just so grateful that that's not one of the things that you're still working on with me. I do pray that so many more people in this country and the world are able to hear that that's the gift that comes when they receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And when we read that he stands at the door and knocks, well, it's the Spirit that's within us and just wants us to open our hearts up, our minds up, our old ways to him so that he can come in and shine light, that those ways have to go so that the truth can really have room to live fully. I mean, there's just so much that comes when we say yes to the Holy Spirit and he does the work instead of our trying to fix ourselves. And it's just so much. So I pray that there's a lot of fruit, and that more people ask him to teach more on this till they really are walking with the Holy Spirit and consulting and relying on and thanking and praising God for the gifts that he gives us in the sense of how to make life easier, because we're not doing it ourselves. We're looking to God for the help that he wants to provide and the wisdom and the knowledge that he wants to grow in us through his word and by the power of his Spirit. I just, Father God, fruit from this teaching, enough to inspire him to know when you're requesting he teach again, maybe a little bit more on a particular aspect, but whatever, Father God, wherever you want to go with this, I pray you do it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, I got all filled up, and I was just on his rah-rah team.
Well, I tell you what.
And thank you, the Lord.
When people get addicted to muting, it's hard to break them. It's hard to break muting. Now, sister, hold on, hold on. Hold on now. Sister Kathy, can you see the picture? Do you see the picture?
Oh, yeah, I've been looking at it. Is that Darlene to his left?
Well, it'll be our left. She's got like a, would that be maroon blouse on?
Wow, with the dark hair, not anywhere near him.
Right, right.
Oh, yeah. That would, holding a white bag.
Yeah. That's Fred's wife, Darlene.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Well, I would have thought it was that other girl. Well, how about that? So those were people, all of those were on y'all's trip.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And for everybody that's looking at it, Pastor Fred is behind the banner, the big tall guy there. That's Pastor Fred.
With the green shirt.
Yeah, greenish, bluish to me. Now, I'm not there because I'm taking the picture.
Right.
Now, the woman that made the banner, she's sitting in front of it on the right-hand side.
Huh. And did you say it said?
That's the name of God. That's, you know, like Jehovah.
Okay.
The Lord, capital L-O-R-D. That's in Hebrew.
Very nice.
Now, you have to look really hard, and because everything she did in the background was white, but there's a lot of, like, tapestry in it, I guess you would call it. It's very, very ornate back there. Mm-hmm. So mine looks just like that, only... it has much more color.
Oh.
So I'll take the picture. Because I was looking at it, and we got friendly. Donna and myself got friendly on the trip, and she knew people that I knew. That's what it was. We knew we had friends in common. And so I spent a lot of talking to her, and I said, this is spectacular looking. So she said, would you like one? Well, I said, I'm sure they're really expensive. Oh, no, I'll make it for you. No, I'll make it and send it to you. I said, really? So I gave her my address, and I forgot all about it, completely forgotten. So it was about 3 months later, this big box came, and I opened it up, and there was the flag. She sent me not that flag, but she made another one, same size and everything.
Oh, wow.
But mine has like velvet in it. Oh, it's beautiful. I'll try and get a close up. I'll get one from the distance and then I'll get a close up of it.
Yeah, that'll be great.
So there you go. There you go.
What year was that?
That was just before they removed the Jews from Gaza. That was June and they removed the Jews in August 2005. Because Hurricane, what's that hurricane's name? Hurricane that hit New Orleans, Hurricane.
Yeah, Camille.
Camille. Yeah, yeah. So this is just 2 months before. So we were up in the Golan Heights. Beyond that, we were in the mountains of Israel.
Hurricane.
Or below that, we were in the mountains of Israel. So I was talking to Fred about that, and then we were in Gaza. We were.
And this picture, what is behind y'all?
This is the synagogue in Capernaum. The Lord, the Lord preached in this synagogue.
That actual one, because that is really haphazard looking.
I don't know. I don't know if this is a later synagogue. Well, let me put it this way. That spot right there, because this may be, yeah, could someone, we got feedback. Okay. So I'm not sure if this is a later synagogue or the original synagogue. I'm not sure now, but it's the spot.
Wow.
There might be a synagogue under this one. Yeah, I wonder what happened to Donna. I completely lost touch with her.
Hope she's still alive.
Yeah, and the people that I had contact with her, they passed away. So I have no way of contacting her. What I'd like to do is take a picture of the banner and send it to her.
That would be awesome, hanging in a Jewish place. Yeah. Well, in Messianic.
And Pastor Dove had contact with her. And maybe I'll ask him if he remembers. Well, I know he remembers her, but if he has any way to. I don't remember her last name was a little odd. So if I got a last name, I could try looking her up.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay. All right. So there you go. And there's Pastor Fred.
Thank you. Thank you.
Let me get this down. All right. Well, we'll go with Sister Sharon. If you could lead us in prayer, please.
Yes. I'd be happy to. And thank you for showing the picture and everything. And one thing that Pastor Fred was talked about that really shocked me is that people are afraid of the Holy Spirit. I never in my life, Chaplain John, ever heard that before or knew it or, you know what I mean? So I'm just amazed by that, that him saying that and just never knowing that people are afraid of the Holy Spirit and stuff. So I don't know why, but I'll go ahead and pray. And if you want to discuss it a little bit afterward or so, that'll be good. So dear Father God, I just want to say thank you for tonight. I want to say thank you so much for Pastor Fred and all he talked about. And it was just so wonderful. And dear Father God, I just am amazed, perplexed, and shocked to hear that people are afraid of your Holy Spirit. And dear Father God, and when the Holy Spirit came down, it came down for each and every one of us, and it is still doing that. And I just am so thankful, dear Father God, that I am saved, that I have the Holy Spirit within me, and that you have given me this gift for my life. And I just am so, so grateful to be blessed by this. So, dear Father, I just want to say thank you for that. And thank you, Chaplain John, for going and getting out this picture to show us everybody when they were in Jerusalem. And I just amazed at looking at that structure of wall behind everybody. That had to take a lot of work, to get that cement and those rocks in place and everything. And you could just imagine all the slaves that were doing that, you know, back in the day when that's how work got done. And so, dear Father God, I just want to say thank you that there was some buildings preserved and that we can see them and even still go to them, dear Father. And there's just so much in the archaeology that we are learning about, and it's just amazing. I'm just very, very, very impressed with these buildings and stuff. And I just want to say thank you for the people who did build that. And I just know that some people around other parts of the world are probably in shock because we have perfectly shaped red bricks that we put together to make walls and stuff. So, but everybody has their own ingenuity, dear Father God, but you gave it to us. You gave us the ability to think and how we were going to make things and put things together and be safe, dear Father God, and dry and warm and whatever we needed, dear Father. I just want to say thank you for that. Thank you for everybody who's here tonight to pray. I just want to say thank you for all the prayer that is going to go up. I just want to say thank you to Sister Kathy. for her prayer and leading us all and everything. Just wonderful. And know that we have her when we need her. We can always call her, text her and stuff and talk to her. And just so beautiful. And so many of the people here are like that too. They love to help each other, and that's what we need, is Father God. And I just want to say thank you again for Chaplain John. And I know that we're getting ready for Wednesday evening at my salon and everything. And I just can't wait to see what the dessert is. It should be very interesting. And I just thank Chaplain John for his wonderful sense of humor. And it just enlightens all of us and stuff. When we do take things around the world seriously, because we know it's all in the Bible, dear Father God, but we can all hold on to our smiles and make each other smile. And that is what one thing I'm very, very grateful for. And I just want to say thank you, dear Father, for everybody who's here tonight and everybody who will be listening in the background or in the archives. And I just want to say thank you, dear Father God. And in your name I do pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Chaplain.
Yes.
You remember when you were talking about Nick Fuentes and how radical he is and how... Have you heard about the fallout at the Heritage Foundation? That
No.
Yeah.
Tell me.
So many people have resigned from the thing because the leader, Kelly, whatever, I can't think of his last name, would not decry Tucker Carlson, would not say anything against him having Nick on. And there's just been much more fallout than that, but it is pretty bad.
Wow. Well, that's what's needed. We can't let that go. You know, it's like Sister Kathy. Suppose, if you had one of the leading Nazis, we'll say under Hitler, and you took him on a tour here of the United States, and let him speak. Well, we want to hear people's. We want people to be exposed to the Nazis, so. They can make their own, decision. Well, they can make their own decision by researching it and finding out on their own. You don't have to parade a Nazi and give him big, when you're a promotion, big promotion. So to me, that's what he did. Why would you do this with someone? You know,
it was very bad. They said this is not freedom of speech. Freedom of speech is saying we shouldn't put up with this, that there is a difference between just espousing something and claiming and promoting something. So it's I think this is a turning point too. That whole conversation just changed. It shifted. Something shifted in reality. So I knew you'd be anxious to hear that.
This guy is a hardcore. He is a hardcore.
Yeah.
And so promoting him in any way is maybe you could take excerpts of what he said and say there is a speaker out there, Nick Fuentes, and give a good quote, a nice, fair quote. And this is what he says about the Jews, and this is what he says about Israel and all. Yeah, that's fine. But to have him go and speak on your platform and you have, like, let's say, I don't know what Heritage has. Let's say they have 500,000 followers. Nah, no way. Nope.
So did Tucker actually sanction what he was saying or just give him a platform to say it?
I think he gave him a platform to say it, and Tucker didn't really criticize him. It didn't really,
reprimand him.
Well, he didn't challenge him. That's the best way to put it.
That's it. Yeah.
You know, and I listened to one of Tucker Carlson's interview there, and he had some maniac of a professor from history professor from the University of Syracuse. And I don't know where he dredged this guy up from, but this guy was skating around really close that there was no Holocaust. And Tucker ooh, was like fawning it over everything he was saying. I mean, wow, yeah, I see this. And I said, this is pure propaganda. That's what this is. This isn't intellectual honesty. This is propaganda.
It's so sad.
How can people say that?
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, there's one easy answer to this. I don't know if you one logical answer. In Poland, in like 1940, or maybe it was, I guess the census might have been 1930 because the war started in 39. There was over 3 million Jews in Poland. And after World War II, there was 40,000.
Oh, man.
Wow.
So the bulk of the Jews that were killed were Polish and Russian. Yeah, so where did those Jews go? Okay. All right, so we have Gigi and Randy.
Yes, good evening.
Good evening.
Thank you, Kathy. Thank you, Kathy, for that update.
Amen.
I just want to say this. I want to go into praying. But what's fascinating to me is that kind of along on a timeline, I would tell Randy, I'm not listening to that person. You know, because I used to follow Health Ranger and some other people.
Yeah, I hear you on that. Yeah.
But it's really interesting because, especially with Tucker, I told Randy, I said, I probably shouldn't say this, but I will. Anyway, I told him he was laughing like a little girl at all the inappropriate times. And I told him, that's demonic. I'm never listening to him again. It was really clearly bizarre. I mean, it was beyond just being abnormal. And I told Randy, I'm not listening to him. And it's funny because I feel like over time, all these different people that came out, I couldn't watch them. You know, it wasn't even just what they were saying. I just couldn't watch them, no less hear them. So Amen. It's interesting to see how all those people that I could never watch, they've all gone radical.
Well, to add what you're saying, I used to like Alex Jones because he was really, dead on about the New World Order and like the coming, I call the 666 system, how they were putting a system together to put us behind digital bars there. So he was way out ahead of that. And so I like to follow him because I would follow. And I didn't really find anything that offensive. What I didn't like about Alex Jones is every once in a while he would go into a rant and rave and scream and use foul language in all of this. But anyways, after October 8th there with the attack on Israel, people there that he was promoting, and one is that health ranger there, Mike Adams.
Yeah.
Overnight, they became literally overnight raving anti-Zionists. Raving. Every problem in the world is Israel. Everything. The Jews in Israel. The Jews in Israel. They're just like the Trump derangement syndrome. Only this time it's against it. So I call it ZDS, Zionist Derangement Syndrome. Everything, every problem you could, they even were trying to blame Israel on the assassination of Charlie Kirk. Everything. They are really deranged. And the leader of the pack is that Mike Adams. He is gone. Gone.
But I'm just telling you that way before that,
yes.
There are all of those, you know, there's a whole lineup of them. I could never watch any of them. It didn't matter if they were saying good things or not. I just didn't feel right about looking at them, no less hearing them. And it just played out that I figured out, okay, it was a warning, right? I just wouldn't do it. But anyway, so I'd like to go ahead and pray.
Please, please lead us in prayer.
I heard today that they're going to have at the Kennedy Center, which is right on the Potomac River, and they have an opera house. They have an area in the Kennedy Center where you can walk outside and look down the Potomac. It's beautiful. And then they also have like a place where they had ballet and opera and those kinds of things. But so it's quite a large place, and it's beautiful there. It really is. And so Trump put a fellow in charge of the Kennedy Center, and they're doing a whole series of things about Christmas and Jesus.
What a huge change.
I know, I'm shocked.
Do you know what they would,
really
you know what
shocked.
They did? They did their last Christmas and probably the one before and the one before. It was all homosexual stuff.
Yeah. But this is the guy, you know, is going to exalt Jesus. And I don't remember all the details, but it was fascinating what this gentleman was reporting about that. So I just thought that was, you know, and it was about Jesus. It wasn't just Christmas. You know what I mean? It's not just that it's Christmas. Yeah. So
yeah.
I was really, really happy to hear that. That's really good, because it's a lovely, lovely place, really incredible place. And so I'm glad that he put somebody in charge there that is going to, you know, do justice to our country.
Good.
In the name of Jesus, which is great. So I do that. And the other thing I wanted to just make mention of, I was really happy. Pastor Fred was teaching on these things. And I can't say I was arguing, but when people would come out against the gifts, I would say, this was pastors even that I talked to, where they said, well, you know, the gifts passed away. I said, well, show me exactly where they stopped. And they, you know, they make some kind of an excuse. But then the other thing I would say is, well, there's a gift of teaching. So why are you teaching if the gifts passed away? And then they didn't say anything after that. But yeah, it's ridiculous.
I'll tell you why, Sister Gigi, that doctrine has a foothold and seminaries are teaching it. Just what you said. Because I think whenever this took place, I don't know when this teaching came that all the gifts ended there when the last apostle died. The reason is I think that they were powerless, and that's how they justified being powerless. They didn't see.
I agree with that.
Do you agree with that?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
But I also think it's not just that they were powerless and they didn't have the faith to believe that or even look into it. But also, when, this isn't very nice to say this, but I can't say it's everybody that believes that way. But a lot of it is, you know, they have to surrender their church and the people in their church to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit to take over, right? In their church, they don't want that. So
yeah,
anyway.
Well, they call it wildfire and a lot of things.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
That's what so I'm convinced. So whenever that doctrine started to be taught in seminaries and all, it goes back to they didn't see the power. They didn't see it.
Right.
So then they had to come up
right.
with an excuse why there was no power, and that's what they did.
And, you know, because I had somebody, a pastor who was talking to me one time about something. And so I said, well, you know, yeah, well, maybe the gifts have passed away here. But what about all across, you know, the two-thirds world? those people don't know about your teaching on this, because they have a totally different view of this, and the church is growing. So, yeah. I won't belabor that.
All right.
I won't belabor it anymore. Yeah. But, so Lord, I just am so grateful to you. I'm so grateful to you. I'm so grateful that Randy and I agree about all these things. We have total agreement, and what we've seen and what we've heard and what we've studied and the kinds of things in your word that are so important. And I think every one of us would say, we want to believe every single word in the scriptures because they're all true. And so we thank you, Lord, that when we study your word, we do have the gift of the Holy Spirit. And he is the one that gives us the prompting and the understanding and even the application. And the more we study your word, Lord, the more that gets deeper, deeper, deeper in our hearts and our minds. And so I want to pray for everyone that that would be the case, that as we study your word, as we meditate on your word, and as we speak your word out loud, that we are opening the door to being able to understand more, to apply more, to be able to pray in a way that is pleasing unto you. And we want to do that. We want to do what Pastor Fred was talking about. We want to be conformed into your image, not our image, not a denominational image, not things maybe we learned in the past that may not even be true, but we want to be transformed. And I love the way our pastor used to put it. He said, you must put off every weight of sin in order to put on Christ. And so what he was always explaining to us was, you have to be willing to give up some things in order to be able to walk with Christ. It's just the way it is because of sin and the world, the sin and the devil. And so I'm so grateful. I've never forgotten what he was teaching us. And it's so true. It's still true. And so we thank you. We thank you so much that your word is forever. It's not temporary. Your word has always existed because it is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we are grateful, grateful people for that in that regard. Many things, but in that regard, that your word is eternal. It has no beginning and no end. And we're so grateful that you came to earth and became a man and became the last Adam, and that you took upon yourself everything that was blocking us from having a relationship with God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And we are grateful, grateful people. So I want to lift up Pastor Fred and his church, and that as I think John prayed before, that church will grow, Lord, and that people will be able to overcome whatever brought those kinds of fears onto them, whether it was misunderstanding or maybe seeing somebody operating in the gifts that was doing weird things. I don't know. But we pray that whatever those blocks are for those people, that you would give Pastor Fred the teachings to be able to make things clear to them, and that they would be delivered from the spirit of fear. And so we also want to pray for Pastor Fred's leg, that you would heal him in the mighty name of Jesus, that the blood flow and the veins and the arteries and ligaments and all the different parts of his leg and knee would be healed in the mighty name of Jesus. And we are continuing to pray for Kate and Nate, that you would heal them, that you would give them wisdom about what to do and what not to do. And so we are just asking you, Lord, to completely heal them. And as John said, it's a spirit of death too. And so we are asking you to release them from this power of death in the mighty name of Jesus. And I want to pray over John and Wednesday night that the people will come and they will learn and they will listen and they will grow. They'll be able to apply it and grow into it, and that they would be greatly, greatly encouraged. And we pray that whatever things that John is working on, whether it's the pamphlets or teachings or the program that Pastor Dove and John are putting together, I'm just praying that you would lead and guide him, give him time, give him the presence of mind and the peace and the ideas and the every way that you've always been doing this with him. And we're praying for the increase because time is short. So we want to see him do it now. And so we thank you, Lord. We thank you so much. And I do want to pray for Israel. And I pray that you would protect them and lead them and guide them. We're praying for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit there so that people would hear the gospel, be baptized, be discipled, and have their broken hearts healed too. But we're just praying for that, for the peace of Jerusalem, and that the people would wake up. They would wake up. And we pray for these people that are doing absolutely the wrong thing. And for so long, it's been that there's no repercussions, people just saying crazy things and saying disparaging things. So we're grateful that the Heritage Foundation and these other people are waking up. And we pray that there would be a lot of people joining together to say to these people that are lying, it's just total lying. And what's really terrible is it's lying about you and what your word says. And so we're just praying that they would all wake up before it's too late for them. They're going to be judged. And so we just want to cast all of our cares upon you because you care for us. And I just pray for everyone together here that you would encourage each one of us, that as we read your word, it would come alive and that you would teach us. We're praying for safety. I'm praying for comfort. I'm praying for good sleep. And all of us have problems that we need to solve. So we're praying that we would remember to pray about everything, pray unceasingly, and that you would prompt us to stop and say, Lord, I need help. What do I do? And I'm trying to train myself to be better at this. And so I also pray that whatever any of us need, whether it's healing or we need more funds to buy food or whatever it may be, Lord, that you would make a provision for us in abundance. And we just pray, Lord, that it, whether in word or deed or thought or prayer, whatever we do, Lord, that it would be pleasing in your sight. And we want to see your name exalted. We want to see you glorified above the whole earth. And I also just want to lift up all the people that we've been praying for years, whether it's family members or friends, and they haven't come to Christ, maybe they're resistant. We're asking, Lord, to have mercy on all of those people, and that time is short and we don't want to see them. We don't want to see them not in relationship with you. Have mercy, Lord. Have mercy. And I just pray that in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
I want to say a little prayer.
Amen.
Okay.
I just want one little short special prayer for Greg Patterson and his wife, Bernadine, called Deanie. We recently got somebody that got contact with them after they had been hard to find for a while, but I pray that, God, I pray that you'd strengthen them and comfort them, and that they would not isolate themselves and they wouldn't feel abandoned, but that you would bring joy into their life and they could enjoy the time they have together. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Randy. Thank you. Very nice. Thank you, Gigi.
Amen.
And we're going to close up here with Sister Rita.
Okay, Chaplain. Father, I thank you for everything that you've given to me. And you have blessed me, Father, and I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. And you died for me on the cross that I would be with you one of these days. I give you thanks, Father, for being merciful unto me. Father, I hold up America to you, that you would have mercy on America and forgive and heal us. Heal America. I also pray for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in America. And Father, I pray, Father, we do not deserve your mercy. I pray that the people, I pray for the women that has had abortions. I pray for the people that are trapped in pornography, in transgenderism, and homosexualism, Father. I pray that these people that are trapped in these sinful lifestyles, that they will come to, that they will repent and come to the saving knowledge of your precious Son, Jesus Christ. And also, Father, I also pray that you stop the spreading of Islam. Amen. That is moving across, amen, America. And Father, I pray that these Muslims that live in America will repent and come to the saving knowledge of your Son. And I pray for the Christians in America, Father, that you would put a burning desire in our hearts to witness to these Muslims. And Father, I hold up Israel to you. I pray for all the Jews that live in Israel, that they will repent from their wicked ways and come to the saving knowledge of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray, Father, that you would put a hedge of a protection around her and give her peace, Father. And I pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, Father, in Israel. And Father, I pray for Netanyahu, that you would guide him and direct him, encourage him and protect him and comfort him. And Father, I pray that you'll guide and direct Netanyahu in all of his decisions that he makes for America. And I pray that he will come to know your Son, Father, and that he would repent and come to know your Son as his Lord and Savior of his life. And I also pray this for his wife, Father. Bless their marriage and bless their children. And Father, I pray for the IDF. I pray that for every single soldier in the IDF will repent from their that they will repent from their wicked ways and come to the knowledge of your Son. And Father, I pray for Mike Huckabee, that he will be a blessing to Israel. Keep Michael Huckabee close to you, Father, and to your Son, and bless his wife, Father. And Father, I thank you, Father, for President Trump. You have blessed us with President Trump. Keep him safe, encourage him, comfort him, and put a hedge of protection around him. And Father, I also pray that President Trump above you and your son more with each passing day, and that he will rely, that he will see where his strength comes from, Father, and that is from you. I pray that you bless this marriage, and I ask for the salvation of Melania, that she would come to the saving knowledge of your son, Father. And I also pray this, Father, also for J.D. Vance and his wife, Usha, that they would come to the saving knowledge of your son. And Father, show them how corrupted the Catholic Church is. And I also hold up Chaplain John to you, Father. Encourage, comfort, and strengthen Captain John. Guide and direct him in all of his teachings and in all of his preparation for the new brochures that he's working on, Father. Bless and anoint all of his brochures, Father, and his books, that many would come to the saving knowledge of your son, and many hearts would be healed from reading them, Father. And Father, I pray for all the Auburn Father Fellowship pastors. Encourage, strengthen, guide, and direct, and bless their churches. And also, Father, I ask that you would provide shelter, food, water, and clothing for these poor churches. And I pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in all of these Auburn Father's Fellowship churches, Father. And also, Father, I pray for Israel. I pray for the Israeli hostages. Heal their broken hearts and broken minds, Father. Strengthen, encourage, and comfort each and every one of them, Father. And I also pray that they will come to the saving knowledge of your son, Father. And Father, I pray for Pastor Fred. I pray that you will heal his legs, whatever is wrong with him, Father. I pray that you will strengthen him, comfort him, and encourage him, Father. And I also pray for his daughter, Kate, and his son, Nate. I pray, Father, that you will heal his children from the cancers that they are suffering from, Father, from. Protect, encourage, and comfort both of them, Father. And Father, I pray for everyone that is online tonight. I pray that you will strengthen us, encourage us, and comfort us, Father, and heal each and every one of us, Father. For I pray this all in the holy and the glorious name, Father, of my Lord, my Savior, my God, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay, I think we had a wonderful night tonight. Thank everybody for coming. Tomorrow morning, I don't stream. I have the prayer meeting in the morning. And then we'll be back tomorrow night with Ezekiel chapter 36. And then Wednesday morning, we have more prayer. And then Wednesday night, I go and teach at Word of Life and come back and start. We get an hour. We have an hour Wednesday night. So God bless everybody. Was it one? Yes, the White
News.
Yes.
You said that you didn't stream tomorrow morning, but you didn't mention that Kathy and I will be in Uber conference leading
for that. So, you can call in.
Program.
Yeah, there'll be a program from Uber conference. We won't be streaming, but you can call in. So that's the regular number, 717-409-5553. Thank you, Sister Sharon.
Well, thank you, Chaplain John.
God bless you
so much.
Oh, God of burning, cleansing flame.
Send the fire.
Your blood. blood-bought gift. Today we claim.
Sanctify today.
Well, God of Elijah, hear our cry.